It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. Time again to talk about the 2020 Garfield County Humanitarian Service Awards, currently seeking nominations for local folks, volunteers in the community. Blythe Chapman is with River Bridge. You've been on this committee for a long time. You've recognized a lot of volunteers over the years.
Well, it hasn't been that long in the grand scheme of things. This is year number 31, and I think maybe I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years. So.
Well, it seems like it to me. It seems like it to me. Out of any of us here, you've been involved with this.
Okay, yeah,
more than,
I'll take that.
Okay. Eliana Renteria?
Renteria.
Oh, wow. I knew I was going to mess it up. Okay. Is from Raising a Reader. So we'll talk with her a little bit. And Heather Paulson is from River Center. The Human Services Commission in Garfield County, again, is the organization that kind of puts on these awards every year. And the commissioners, actually, the Garfield County commissioners award the awards. The Human Services Commission kind of gather them and decide, recommend, I should say, who should receive those awards. Wow. Okay, well, we're off to a great start here so far. Human Services Commission would be human service agencies, nonprofits. Obviously, Department of Human Services, a governmental entity, is involved in that, as are a number of nonprofits like the three of yours.
Yes.
Okay. We're getting better. So you're looking for nominations for people, and I know that there are always at least one staff member from Garfield County that receives one of these awards, and then people just throughout the community. A lot of times they're folks that volunteer with your organizations, and sometimes it's just, I think the term comes up every year, unsung heroes.
Yeah, that's usually what we say. We're looking for those unsung heroes that are out there, you know, humbly doing the work. We're looking for both staff and volunteers. So it doesn't have to be someone who's doing it for free. You know, they could be a staff member who's just really going above and beyond their job to make a real difference in Garfield County.
It adds to, I think, the impact of receiving one of these humanitarian service awards, the fact that you don't just submit a name and write a paragraph. Actually, each nomination requires a few letters of support from other people in the community, right?
Right, yeah. And every year we get some frustration from the community because they submit a name and they think that's enough. But we actually need, because the committee is looking at these letters and these nominations and making a decision based on that information, it's really important that the nominator write a very well thought out letter and highlight everything that that nominee has done, and then also get at least three, not more than six, letters of support to go with that from other folks in the community. And it's a really good idea to get a wide range of support.
And by the way, you can learn more at garfield-county.com. I could give you the exact URL, but it takes the full line across the page.
I think if you go to the Garfield County website, you can get there pretty easy.
All right. And you can also call, by the way, 309-8954. Deadline for nominations is this Friday?
Next Friday. So the 21st of February is the deadline by 4 p.m. And that deadline is hard, so if a nomination comes in at 4:01, we do not accept it. So we want folks to take that seriously. You know, usually we get quite a bit of nominations, but they tend to come in at the last minute. So if you're thinking about doing it, go for it early. It definitely helps the process.
And again, it's garfield-county.com or 309-8954 if you have any questions. There is an email address. Actually, it's pretty easy to remember. I'll give that out here in just a couple minutes. Over the years, since you said 31 years, so 1989, right, was the first humanitarian service?
Yes. You know, I was just looking at our list, and what we have is the first year that we have recognized folks was 1989.
And over those years, it's pretty much a who's who of local people. If you've been around for very long, you'll recognize more than one name on there. I want to say there are former county commissioners on that list, lots and lots of staff. Some people have won more than once. And each award, each Garfield County Humanitarian Service Award is unique. So it's titled specifically based on the type of volunteering that that individual does, right?
Sure, sure. Yeah, we make a decision at the time of the nominations coming in and they've been reviewed and we decide on winners. Which, by the way, everyone is a winner. Everyone that's nominated is a winner. But we do have to choose a couple out of that group to specifically nominate or to award. And we take what the letters have described about this person and come up with an award name for each of those people. And I do want to clarify that at this point anyway, we don't allow someone who's won to be renominated. Right. So
really?
If someone's been nominated
before,
they can get renominated. So if someone last year didn't win, they could get nominated again this year. But if they won last year, they can't get nominated again.
Oh, that's interesting. For some reason, I thought that there were a couple names that appeared more than
there
once.
Might be. I don't know for sure if that was a new rule that was put into place years into it. But gotcha. That is currently the situation.
OK. And it's any age. Any occupation. I know over the last few years there have been young people that have occasionally been nominated and won one of the awards based on, again, their service to the community and really volunteerism is what this is all about.
Yeah, I think sometimes we forget that there is a ton of youth in our community that are doing amazing things. And it's really cool to be at this dinner and to see that. To see these kids being recognized for how much they're doing. It's pretty amazing.
Again, garfield-county.com or 309-8954. You can call if you have any questions. Deadline for nominations is Friday, February 21st at 4 p.m. So will the entire Human Services Commission – I remember I was in a meeting room right before – a Human Services Commission meeting, and I couldn't believe how many people. It was like 100 people, maybe 50. It was a big number.
I don't think it's quite 100. No. What do you think, Heather?
Probably closer to 50.
Yeah.
It was a lot. I was really surprised. So does the full commission meet, or do you have a smaller like committee?
It is a smaller committee.
Okay.
It is a requirement for members of the Human Services Commission to serve on a committee, and there's a number of ways to do that, and one of the ways to do that is to serve on the awards committee.
Okay. I assume the three of you are on that committee.
Heather and I are. Ileana is not, but she was nominated by her boss, Cindy, to be here today.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yep.
Voluntold?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were you voluntold?
Yes, exactly.
Since the three of you are here, we will take some time and talk a little bit about each of your respective organizations and what you do and why it's important. Obviously, I guess we've got time now. Ileana, raising a reader, I mean, learning how to read at a young age is so important and getting kids interested in books. When I was a kid, we had this program called RIF. Reading is fundamental.
Oh, yeah.
I think once a year, once a year, we would go in and they'd have just this stack of books, and you go and you get to pick one book that you got to take home for free. Raising a Reader is kind of similar to that.
Yeah, we work from Aspen to Parachute, and what we do is we deliver these red book bags with four books in them to every preschooler and every kindergarten where our program is being delivered. And they get to take home that book bag and bring it back. And then next week they get another one. So we're putting a big number of books on children's hands. And our program is not about teaching children to read at an early age, but more about falling in love with books and just getting in touch with them and bringing parents to the library. At the end of the school year, we do this field trip to the library where we give them a blue bag. That means that they have already graduated from our program, and they can use it to check out books throughout the summer. So it's okay. This connection between love of books and parent engagement, and then continuing throughout the summer also.
And you start earlier, I think, than we did in REF. You start kindergarten and first grade.
Yeah, we do preschool, even child cares, and and kindergarten. Wow. And we also have groups at the libraries where the staff, the actual staff from Raising a Reader, is delivering a one-hour class called Little Red Bags Club or Bolsitas Rojas for children who are enrolled in a school. But they can come, and we do story time in Spanish mostly, but we are now having a Bolsitas Rojas or Little Red Bags Club in English, starting in Parachute too. And they are low-income families, and we model how parents should be reading at home. So we make it fun. We sing songs. Today we are cooking. We are making a dessert for Valentine's Day with the children so they can feel. And we do it around a book. So the book that we read to them is the book that we are going to work through throughout the session. Okay. So it's about having parents watch what they should be doing. It's not just reading a book from start to end, but asking questions and spending time and making it fun and making the noises and the sounds. And they watch us doing, and it looks kind of silly, but they see that they can too have fun. So that makes it even more exciting for children.
Were you read to as when you were a child?
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you have fond memories of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My mom was very intuitive about it because she didn't have the education behind it or the science behind it, but she did it.
So you were learning together.
Yep, exactly.
You might say.
Okay. Yeah. She loved to read, and she had fun reading to me, and she was always talking to me. So that's what I'm trying to deliver to everyone, because it might seem like the obvious thing to do, but sometimes parents don't know or they are too busy. So it's like just 15 minutes a day. Take those 15 minutes, get rid of your phones for 15 minutes, and just pay attention to your child and make it a ritual for them, and it becomes a habit.
Well, and actually, I've heard that there's something developmentally about screens at a young age, that it's really not good for kids to get that much screen time.
It is overstimulating for their brains, and it doesn't really help them. Parents might think like, oh, well, this is an educational program or a cartoon. But in reality, their brains aren't wired yet to understand what they are watching. So those brain cells connections are... we are born with the natural instinct to learn from human contact. So they learn by being looked at in the eyes and talked to and read to. So it's about human interactions. And I keep saying at my parent talks, like, you wouldn't teach a cub lion how to hunt by watching a screen. They have to be with mom and dad, and she's going to teach them. But same thing with humans. We learn through our parents and love. So it's about that. If you love your child, you want to spend the most time that you can with them, and their brains will grow from it, because our brains aren't fully developed when we are born. So it's those first five years where their brains are going to get to almost the size of an adult. So that's when repetition really counts. Time spent with them really matters. So hearing a lot of language and spending time with them.
That actually explains a lot, hearing you say that. First 5 years, so you can't, for the most part, you may recognize a few words. You can't read yourself.
Exactly.
So I have everybody read to me. I mean, my grandparents and my parents. Mm-hmm. My dad had this habit of he would go off the script. So he'd be reading a story, and then the story would change, and I'd be looking at the pictures, and I'd be thinking, and no.
That's that.
And so it explains a lot about me. So if you ever wonder why I have the sense of humor, I do.
No, but that's important for our families too, because sometimes a lot of our families don't speak English. They don't know how to read in English, but we tell them, go go off script. Just follow the pictures. And that's
important. The beauty of kids' books is there are a lot of pictures. You can usually kind of...
Yeah, and it's just about that time that you're spending with them. And they are hearing more words because sometimes we are like, be quiet, be still, no, yes. And that's about it throughout the day. But with books, they are learning new language. They are hearing new vocabulary. So it is important to be read to.
When you're talking about modeling reading to kids, you're not just reading the story, you said, you're actually engaging the kids, making sure that they understand what's going on. And why it's important to the story.
Exactly, yeah, because sometimes they are like, well, yeah, sure, I read to them. And I'm like, stay still, I'm going to read to you. We're going to finish with this book and fall asleep and go to bed, sleep. But no, what we do is we start telling them who the author is, the illustrator, and the title of the book. That's something that sometimes they don't do that at home. And then we start asking a lot of questions. What do you think is going to happen? What sound does this animal make? Do you know the name of this animal? Have you ever felt this way? So children's books, even though they might be simple, they might seem simple, they have a lot of messages behind it. So every week we switch the book and we find a lot of books, whatever we want to cover, like emotional intelligence for children, or cooking, or friendship, or Valentine's Day, whatever. You can find books about anything and have a lot of fun with it.
Again, you can learn more about the Humanitarian Service Awards at garfield-county.com. I want to say the full list of all the winners throughout the years is on the website as well. I think it has been in the past.
You know, I don't know the answer to that, to tell you the truth, but the important that would thing, be nice if it's there.
Right? The important thing is nominations this time around. So if you know someone that, you know what, actually, maybe in the next segment we'll talk about maybe some specifics of folks that have received the Humanitarian Service Award in the past. Again, a number are given out each year. I don't think, do you have a set number of awards that you give out each year? Okay.
No, it really depends on how many nominations we get. And, you know, as we go through those, making a determination as a committee, it's different every year.
And again, if you have any questions we don't answer today, the phone number is 309-8954. Deadline for nominations, Friday, February 21st, 4 p.m. sharp.
That's right.
4 o'clock and 1 second.
You're out.
No dice. Next year. Make the nomination again next year. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking about the 2020 Garfield County Humanitarian Service Awards. Blythe Chapman is with Riverbridge Regional Center and Heather Paulson River Center. Did you take the Newcastle out of the name, Heather?
No, it still has River Center of Newcastle.
Okay. All right. I was wondering about that. I skipped over it the first time. And then Eliana Renteria.
Yes.
Okay. That's probably as good as you're going to get from me. I'm so sorry.
Perfect.
From Raising a Reader. Of the three of us, how many of you had the little golden books as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not Eliana, but Blythe and Heather. Some of my favorites. I don't remember the story, but there was one that my grandpa and I used to read, and there was I'm laughing just thinking about it. There was a turtle, and he was on a boat, and I just remember the expression on the turtle's face always made me laugh when I was like, you know, 4 or 5 years old. It still makes me chuckle. Do they still make?
I'm gonna have to find them. Oh yeah, I have a 4 year old, and we have them.
That's awesome. Yeah, so many of those memories that, and when you have kids, it's kind of an excuse to relive all of those memories. You know, talking about. I guess we're leaning a lot on Eliana's organization here. Maybe I should. again, Humanitarian Service Awards call for nominations currently through Friday, February 21st at 4 p.m. Again, if you know someone, an unsung hero in the community, this is specific to Garfield County because it is a Garfield County award. That doesn't mean they have to live in Garfield County; just serve or volunteer in Garfield County. The website is garfield-county.com. Phone number 309-8954. So, Heather, let's talk a little bit more about River Center in Newcastle. One of the newer, really high-profile nonprofits, actually, in this area.
Seems like it. Yes, we've been around for 10 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
But our biggest thing, we do serve Newcastle and Silt. And our largest outreach is our emergency services. So we really try to help families that are struggling with just a hand up. So we will set goals with them. And our goal is to help that family reach sustainability so that they're able to just financially support themselves and not need the assistance anymore. But every person needs help at least once in their life. So it's one of those things that we try to just show compassion to each person that's coming in. And we try to build those relationships with them to be able to help them just set their own goals and see how they can achieve what they want in life on their own as well, and just have a little helping hand and some guidance to go receive that. We also have several school programs. We do Totes of Hope, which is a weekly bag of food that are delivered to four of the schools in Newcastle and Silt, as well as the Mill Monkey Lunches. We partner with Lift Up on that. Lift Up handles Rifle, and then we deliver to four locations in Newcastle and Silt. We're looking at adding a fifth location in Newcastle. Well, it'll be the third location in Newcastle, but it'll be five total this spring. So everything is the Mill Monkey Lunches are on Fridays at different times and locations.
Okay, because there is no school on Friday.
There is no school on Fridays for Garfield RE2. So we're really trying to provide that nutritious lunch for those kids. Totes of Hope lunch or bag of food go home for the weekend so that they have one to two meals provided for the weekends. And that way they're not going back to school on Monday hungry. So we have about 89 children that are receiving a Totes of Hope bag, and anywhere from 50 to 90 kids each week on the Mill Monkey as well. So,
wow.
There's quite a few.
That's a lot.
The Mill Monkey lunches are available for any child 18 and younger to come and receive. So we're able to partner with the local libraries as well to be able to provide a spot that is indoor and outdoor that they could go to. So that's been a great collaboration as well. The Lift Up volunteers that are in River Center, they are packing that lunch. We have some other community members that come in, and they're packing it every Friday. So everything is handmade and delivered with love. And the kids, we've had parents report back to us that their kids plan their day based around Mill Monkey because they're so excited to get it. And we try to mix it up each week so that it's not the same thing for the kids as well. So that's been fun. Some other programs that we have are the Angel Tree program. We do collaborate with several other agencies and organizations throughout the valley. River Center is financially responsible for all kids Silt through Glenwood Springs. So we had over 300 kids in those three areas just this last December, but are able to really provide gifts for kids parachute through Basalt is what we've been able to do with the help of other agencies and volunteers. We also do the winter clothing distribution. So we partner again with other organizations. Canyon Cleaners in Silt cleans every article of clothing that is donated free of charge. And so that way families are coming in. We know that their coats are going to work, that all of the zippers are checked. Everything is cleaned so that they're just getting a clean working clothing.
I just had another flashback to being a kid. I would always break my zipper, my coat zipper, on the slide. I'd slide down, and there was just a place where the zipper could get caught, and it would rip it right off.
Oh, man.
Oh, I got in so much trouble over that. Sorry.
None of the River Center coats are going to be ripped like
that. I hope not. Unless a kid is having a lot of fun on a slide, then maybe it will.
My mom would always tell me, why don't you just zip it up before you go down the slide? I don't think that's far ahead. Yeah.
That really kind of reminds me. We do a lot. We work with the school counselors so that if there is a child that is in need of school supplies or winter boots, clothing, coats, you know, outside of the distribution, we'll meet those needs. So the counselors are able to call our office and work with our staff to just address each of those individual things.
It sounds like, so at the beginning, you're talking about working with families. Do you do a little bit of case management with some of your families?
Some. So we do not have actual trained case managers. But what we can do is The families come in. There's an interview process. We'll just sit down and work with them on setting goals. Where do they want to be? It's something that we encourage them to do on their own. We can't do things for them.
Right.
It's something that they need to make a choice on their own. But we can just help be talk through the process.
Provide resources.
And providing resources, just helping them really go, okay, where am I at? One of the things that we do look at is budgets. We can help them with basic budgeting. We do provide classes. So we have worked with a couple of staff members from Alpine Bank that they'll come in. We do a financial class for the community and help them just being able to understand where their money's going. Sometimes it's easy to just, oh, that's $10. Oh, that's $15. But when it all adds up and you're putting it down on paper, then some of our families go, oh, my goodness, I'm going out to eat too much. Or, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be going to the Red Box every, 3 days a week. So it's little things like that that sometimes are not really recognized until you're putting it down and seeing how much you're spending. So we will just really work with them on what are you currently spending, what are you bringing in each month, and let's set some goals. Sometimes it's let's cut out the TV for a while. We'll always refer families to Lift Up because they do such a great job of providing food to families. That is a cost that can be eliminated or cut down significantly for families that are struggling, and just letting them know, okay, it doesn't have to, it could be 1 month that you're going, or it could be longer if you need. But there are these services out there that can help families in a wide variety of areas.
And so, you also have a meeting space.
We do.
That folks use.
Yes, families are able to rent out. There's a large area that can fit, I believe, 75 people with a full working kitchen. There's also the conference room that can be rented out as well. So it's a great place for the community for birthday parties. We have other organizations and nonprofits that rent out this spot to provide their meetings as well.
Again, Humanitarian Service Award nomination deadline is 4 p.m. on Friday, February 21st. You can learn more. There is the actual nomination form, I think, is pretty simple. The majority of the work is actually writing the letter of support for the person that nominates and getting 3 to 6 other letters of support from other members of the community. Again, you can learn more at garfield-county.com, and you can always call if you have questions. So actually, I guess it's a full page form that you have to fill out. Maybe a little bit less.
Yeah, I mean, if you condensed it, it probably could fit in a half page, but yeah, it's not very much information.
Well, you have to leave space to actually fill it out if you're going to be doing it by hand.
Right,
you
know?
Again, the phone number is 309-8954. Take a quick break, wrap things up, and talk with Blythe about Riverbridge Regional Center when we come back. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, the topic of the day is the Garfield County Humanitarian Service Awards. I want to say the awards will actually be handed out in April, right?
So, yeah, the award ceremony is at the Hotel Colorado this year.
That's right. Back to the Hotel Colorado after 2 or 3 years.
No, we usually go – actually, you're probably right. I think maybe we did 2 years in Rifle in a row because of everything going on at the Hotel Colorado. But we do try to go Glenwood Rifle.
Gotcha. Okay. Makes sense.
Make it easier on the county
general. Makes sense.
Again, but it is Monday, April 6th.
There you go. At the Hotel Colorado. That's when the awards are handed out. Let's be clear. The deadline is Friday, February 21st at 4 p.m. Out of curiosity, in your experience, the three of you, have any of you ever nominated anyone for one of these humanitarian awards?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And did the person that you nominated win?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, that's got to be a good feeling. So let's talk about Riverbridge a little
bit.
Riverbridge Regional Center. I want to say, were you the first executive director?
Or,
You came in still pretty early, I thought.
Yeah, I came in 2011.
Okay.
There was a rough start for the organization for the executive director position. And then Susan Ackerman came in for 3 years and really got the organization on track. And then she moved to Mexico. But I took over then in 2011. So River Bridge has been around 12 years now. And we're a child advocacy center. And we started off serving just Garfield County, but we've grown to serve Eagle, Pickin, as well as Rio Blanco County. So we serve a very large geographic region. And we've got families coming to us all the way from Rangeley, close to the Utah border, out to Vail and up to Aspen. So the Child Advocacy Center model is a national model, and we are nationally accredited by a National Children's Alliance, which means that we have to meet standards set by that agency. And we're actually going through accreditation right now this year with a site review in May, which is a lot of work to meet that standard. And so the basis of the Child Advocacy Center is that we are providing child-friendly and child-focused support to families when there's been an allegation of abuse, and primarily we're dealing with child sexual abuse. And then, you know, I do want to point out that we, in 2018, took on the Sex Assault Nurse Examiner Program for the community.
Oh, I did not realize that. I thought because it was started by the district attorney.
Right. Well, so originally the SANE program was run out of Valley View Hospital, okay. And it was run out of the hospital for quite some time, and they closed that program in May of 2012. From May of 2012 until early 2016, we didn't have a program in our community. Anyone sexually assaulted had to travel to either Frisco or Grand Junction for an exam, and you can imagine that most assault victims chose not to travel in order to get that much-needed medical treatment. And yes, the district attorney's office under Sherry Kaloya's administration restarted that SANE program in 2016. In 2017, we became aware that it was going to end again. And so we stepped in and took over.
So primarily families, but some through the SANE program, you would deal with
adult victims as well.
You know, we're talking, I wrote down the number 89 when we're talking with Heather, you know, 89 meals a week that they provide through the Totes of Hope. That is right.
Yes.
Right, Heather? Okay.
That's a lot.
Sure.
I believe that's, yeah. That's the last number I remember.
That's a lot. And so let's compare that to, of course, you look at yearly numbers, not weekly numbers, because mm-hmm. hopefully folks are involved with you for a certain period of time and then they no longer require your services.
We definitely don't see 89 kids a week.
That is a good thing. That is a good thing. So 2019, what service numbers did you deal with?
So in 2019, we saw about 245 kids. And then, of course, we serve all of the non-offending family members for each of those kids. So that's about a 179% increase over our first year of service.
Do you think that that's a product of awareness, you know, in that sort of thing in the news and talking about it in school and society understanding better how to deal with it? Or that's what I would hope, as opposed to, you know, it's actually the occurrences are increasing.
I think there's a ton of factors that you got to weigh in. I mean, number one, you know, early on we were only serving Garfield County, and now we're serving a much larger geographic region. So there's more kids in general, right? I think our population has grown during that period of time. And yes, I think there's more awareness and folks are talking about it more often. I think we're doing a much better job getting the word out and helping our community understand that it's important to stop the secrecy cycle and start talking about it in order to create healing.
Even though it's uncomfortable.
Even though it's uncomfortable, it's really important that we talk about it because it's happening in our community. Mm-hmm. And child sexual abuse crosses all geographic boundaries, socioeconomic, race, and ethnicity. There's really no boundary. And so you can't say, well, this is a poor lower socioeconomic region, and therefore they're going to have more sexual abuse. Just not true. It happens just as much in Aspen as it does in Rifle or Parachute. So I think that we're talking about it more. I think that our families are a little bit more open to it. I think people are reporting more, recognizing that it's important to start reporting so that kids can get help.
Again, if you'd like to learn more about the Humanitarian Service Awards, you can go to garfield-county.com. Again, phone number, if you have any questions, 309-8954. I promised you the email address. You can also use email to get in touch. And, of course, this email address is on the website, too. It's garfield.county.awards@gmail.com. So garfieldcountyawards.com. garfield.county.awards@gmail. You know, speaking of websites, we're talking about each of your three organizations, and I completely forgot to mention those websites if folks want to find out more about each the three of you. Blythe, Riverbridge Regional Center is just riverbridgerc.org, right?
That's good, Gabe. I'm impressed.
You hear something more than once, and it begins to, even with somebody as old as I am, and the solidified gray matter, occasionally something will stick. Heather, what about River Bridge?
River Center.
River Center.
We knew that was going to happen.
We knew it was going to happen. It happens a lot. It's a good thing Blythe and I get along really well.
I'm so sorry. And I was doing so good, too. Oh, so, yeah, the River Center.
Yes, it is rivercenternewcastle.org.
And Raising a Reader, do you have a local website?
Yes, we do. It's www.rar4kids.org, and it's the number 4. So rar4kids.com.
rar4kids.org, as in Raising a Reader. Again, rar4kids.org. Again, those are all the local websites for these local organizations. Again, the nomination deadline for the 2020 Humanitarian Service Awards are Friday, February 21st, 4 p.m. Again, looking for unsung heroes that serve people in Garfield County, going above and beyond volunteerism, helping others in general, that kind of thing. Eliana can talk a lot about this, actually. Her husband won one of these awards two or three years ago. I think it was
2017.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Of course, Samuel, I've known in the industry for a long time. So that's all I'm going to say on that. One of the cool things, by the way, we talked about the letters of support that are required for each one of these nominations. One of the most awesome, humbling thing for folks that win these awards, that are nominated for these awards, you actually get a folder with those letters that people wrote. So you can actually, how often does this happen? You can actually know what people have said about you.
Exactly.
I think we should also point out that Gabe Chenoweth won the Talk of the Town Award in 2016. So
that is
you're
correct.
Also an award winner.
That was. So when you hear me talking, you know, in the firsthand, that's where that comes from. That was very cool. That was, I think it was it Amy Barr? I know Amy, and I know that Julie from the Advocate Safe House wrote a letter. I'm trying to remember everybody. I feel bad because, you know.
You had a lot of letters.
Yeah, there were a lot of letters. It was a very humbling experience to read what, like I say, people say about you behind your back. It's a great thing when it's good. There are also a number of local sponsor organizations that are sponsoring this event this year as well.
So Garfield County, the Garfield County Commissioners always support this event.
Right. It's their award.
So they're very supportive of it and have always financially put in to make it happen. And this year, Alpine Bank is also sponsoring the event, as well as the Post Independent. And the Post Independent is helping tremendously with getting the word out, getting the ads in, making sure the community knows about the event.
Again, the website is garfield-county.com. The nomination deadline for the 2020 Humanitarian Service Awards, 4 p.m. sharp, Friday, February 21st. If you send it 1 second after that, it won't be accepted. Any final thoughts? Anybody?
Thank you for having us again, Gabe.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. All the best. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.